welcome to our third Bible study. We're getting there. Tonight, we're going to be going over in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, and 8. Before we begin, let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this evening to learn more and more about you, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and our mind to your word, that your Holy Spirit will lead the way, Lord, this evening, so that we can learn more and more about you and become more spiritual, Lord. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so just a quick reminder, chapter 1 and 2 was the history of creation. Chapter 3 was the fall of man. In chapter 4, Cain murders Abel. In chapter 5, the family of Adam. That's what we already went over. The theme for chapter 6 is prepare for the flood. Chapter 6 is about the wickedness and the judgment of man. I'll go ahead and read chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Let's stop here for a minute. During this time prior to the flood, as we talked about before, the average person lived to 910 years. Prior to the flood, there was a water canopy around the earth that protected everybody and everything. So everything was protected from the atmosphere. That's why everything thrived so much. During this time, there would have been lots of people. People lived to 900 years old. They would have had lots of kids, lots of families, very large. Researchers believe that during this time, prior to the flood, there was probably a billion people or more living on the earth at this time. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Like I was saying, after the flood, people lived around 120 years, as it says, and then now, as we know, 70 or 80 or 90, instead of 900 prior to the flood. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3, where it says, my spirit, God said, shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Let's talk about this. During this time, there was also a lot of wicked, evil people. Lots of evil things were going on at this time. Lots of sexual perversion. Lots of sexual immorality. Evil demons were entering people. Wicked angels. Not all angels are good. As we know, Satan took a third of angels with him when he was casted out of heaven. Very demonic, evil spirits. People were very corrupt, and there was lots of violence during this time. This is why God said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh. Living in the flesh versus living in the spirit. Remember I said before, the spirit and the flesh are always at it. The flesh loves the worldly things, but the spirit of God doesn't. So every day, our flesh and spirit are always at it. And God's making a reference that people back then wanted to live in the flesh, not the spirit. This very thing also went on in Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 19, which we'll get to down the road. Same thing. There's a reference to this. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, if you have tabs and it's quick. It's in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. There's a reference to this very thing. It says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, they were entering into people, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for judgment of that great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in the similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So this is a reference to this very thing going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that were full of sexual immorale. Men were with men, women were with women, all kinds of evil things in the sight of the Lord. This is why God sent fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 4. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were old men of renown. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was evil, continually, only evil continually. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Let's stop here for a minute. So in verse 6, it says, the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth and was grieved in his heart. Can you imagine how bad things must have been for the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth and he was grieved in his heart? He probably feels the same way today with everything going on in the world today. All kinds of abominations against God going on all the time in the world. Just turn your TVs on, right? You go through the channels and it's nothing but abominations against God. I often say to myself, like I've brought up before in my sermons, that I say, Lord, if these things bother me so much, I can only imagine how much they bother you. What a shame. Verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So let's take a look at verse 7 and 8. God was prepared to destroy everyone and everything, but God found favor in one righteous man during this time, Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God found Noah to be a righteous man and worth saving. God showed his grace and mercy to Noah and his family. Verse 9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Don't you love that when you read that through the scriptures and so, you know, Noah walked with God, just like we want to walk with God. Noah walked with God just like his grandfather Enoch. Remember we talked about Enoch last week? Enoch walked with God, and here's Noah walking with God, just like his grandfather. It's great. This should give all of us hope that Noah walked with God and God showed him grace, just like God will do for us. Same thing. This really gives us hope. I brought this up before in my sermons, that one of the verses that I always think of in the Bible, it's a good one for you to highlight. It's in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 30. It says, God honors those who honor him. It goes hand in hand with this story that we're reading with Noah. God honors those who honor him. First book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 30. It's a long verse. It's at the very bottom. Verse 10. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. God is telling Noah how to build the ark. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. That's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. This is massive. This ark, it's the same size of 1.5 football fields. And this is massive. Keep in mind, Noah, he probably never even built a boat, and he's now going to build the ark, you know. It's amazing faith, really is. Verse 16, you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubic from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third deck. So there's three decks to this ark, this massive ark. Verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy it under heaven, all flesh in which the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Verse 19. And every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. To every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take care of yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him to do. So he did. That's the end of chapter 6. So let's just talk about this a little bit. Chapter 6. Like I said, keep in mind that Noah, he never even built a boat that we know of, let alone an ark. But he never hesitated. He never once hesitated. God said, move, and Noah moved. This reminds me of when Jesus tells his disciples, his followers, just before he ascends into heaven. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, go. Just like God told Noah, move, just like he tells us, go. You don't have to be a preacher to preach the gospel, to share God's word. Jesus tells all his followers, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Share your faith with others, Jesus tells us, just before he ascended into heaven. What great faith Noah showed in God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 7, I'll go ahead and read it. You can either write it down or if you want to go to it. Excuse me. It says, by faith Noah, being divinely, right, divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Amazing faith Noah had. I mean, amazing faith. Noah and his family put all their faith and trust in God. They honored, they honored God, just like we should honor God, and he will honor us. It took Noah and his family 120 years to build the ark. 120 years. People probably walked by and mocked Noah. And that day it was evil. Everybody was doing evil things. I can only imagine them walking by, and here's Noah and his family, and they're building this massive ark that's a football and a half long. And what they must have gone through. Can you imagine the people walking by them? Keep in mind, it never even rained. And here's this guy building an ark the size of a football field. I mean, talk about great faith. In the book of Peter, the second book of Peter, it tells us that Noah was a righteous preacher. It says that Noah was probably preaching. Oh, it says that he's a righteous preacher. He was probably preaching repent to all those people. He was a righteous preacher. During this time when people went by, Noah probably preached repent. And the only thing that's going to save you is you repent and get on the ark with my family. I'll actually read it to you, 2 book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness." So Noah was a preacher. "Bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly." Noah probably preached repent 120 days as he built. He was probably telling everybody, turn to God, as he was building the ark. God made a way out for Noah's family. He found him to be righteous and just. That was everyone's rescue plan. Either get on the ark or you're going to drown and die. Just like God has a rescue plan for us through Jesus. Amen? Same thing. They could have been saved on the ark. That was the rescue plan. Our rescue plan is through Jesus. Now move on to chapter 7. Great Flood, chapter 7, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and a female, to each of animals that are unclean, a male and a female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made.' And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him." Stop there for a minute. Now this is 1 week prior. 1 week prior to the flood, God lets Noah know, in 7 days I'm going to flood the world and end everything. And also, if you read this, sometimes this confuses people. If you read where it says, "to each of animals unclean," some people say, why is he bringing unclean? Because the unclean and clean, clean were the animals they could eat, and unclean were the ones they couldn't eat, but they still wanted them. All right. So there's 1 week to go before the big flood. Many people that were probably going by at this time, watching them. Now there's 7 days. I mean, there's a lot going on. They're watching Noah loading. Loading's taking place, no doubt. Again, like I said, Noah was probably preaching away to all those people to repent and get on board, but none did. 7 days from loading, 7 days from here, God will release the water canopy and the waters from the deep. That's how he flooded the earth. The waters from the deep, and he let the envelope, so-called, the water canopy, he let it go. God is ready to bring judgment on the wicked. The ark is completed, and God tells Noah and his family, get on board. The loading begins, loading up of the ark. God most likely has sent all these animals to Noah. He probably would have been a little much for Noah to do that. But the size of these animals, he probably moved them himself by the Spirit. And Noah and his family loaded everyone into the ark, and the animals and the water would have been able to survive. Yep. The only animals that would have been able to supply to live is the ones who were in the water. Yeah, some of them at least. Verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds and everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark, Noah, male and female, as God had commanded them. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on the day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons were with them. They entered the ark. Verse 14. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Let's look at that, verse 16. Verse 16, once everybody was on the ark, did you catch that? God shuts the door. I mean, that had to be massive. There's no way Adam was shutting that and his three sons. I mean, how neat is that? Everybody's in, everybody's on board, and here comes God. He shuts the whole door for them, locks them in. It's amazing. Adam and his boys, they would have never been able to do that. Not that I think. Verse 17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark. Now this is massive. Can you imagine the water it took to lift this up, right? And it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. Everything's covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. All the mountains are covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Remember I said there was probably, they figured there was over 1 billion people at this time living. All died. All the birds, the cattle, the beast, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he, God, destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping thing, and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. 150 days. Just stop here for a minute. A lot of people read that, and it's just, it really hits their heart. You know, everybody died at this time. And we have to remember that God is holy, God is righteous, and God is just. Isaiah 5:16. He will judge all. He will judge all. He did then, and he will again. God is holy and righteous. The only way to escape back then was to repent and get on the ark with Noah's family. The only way to escape judgment now is to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All right, chapter 8. Anybody want to take a break or keep going? Good to go? You've got to get up or get a drink or whatever you can. All right, chapter 8, Noah's deliverance. Now, now that the flood is coming to an end here, God starts to send wind on the earth to start to dry everything up. It's amazing. Right, verse 1, it says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Verse 3, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat, which the mountains of Ararat, that's in the eastern part of Turkey. Bible trivia for you guys, in case you ever asked. It's in the eastern part of Turkey. Verse 5. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were unseen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had reached had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, to Adam. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her in and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days to send out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month of the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th month, the earth was dried. Stop here for a minute. When Noah removed the window to look out and saw the land was dry, he could have got out. He waited 57 days, according to verse 14, and when it happened over here in verse 6, That's 57 days. So here we go. He's opened up. He can see the land. He's like, hey, we're good to go. He waited 57 days until he heard from God. You want to talk about discipline? Can you imagine? This is incredible. Him and his family could have just got right off. But he said, nope, no one move until we hear from God. I mean, that is awesome. Can you imagine being out to sea for that long in this massive ark, rocking around? I would have got seasick. And these animals making noises and going crazy, and you're out there like, when is this ever going to end? And he still waits. He still didn't get off. What? Yeah, mud season. True. Exactly. Smart. But yeah, I mean, can you just imagine? I would have just wanted off. Get me off this thing. Not Noah. He waited till he heard God's voice. I mean, that's just amazing. That is someone who walks with God. Right? Verse 15. Then God spoke to Noah. That's what Noah was waiting for. God to speak to him. Let's just stop there for one sec, actually. You know, I bring up all the time about praying, right? It's a dialogue, not a monologue. When you're praying with God, don't be the only one talking. It's so important that we listen to God, too. Like to meditate. After you go to God, you ask and you pray. Ask God, as I sit here, Lord, and just meditate on you. Talk into my heart. Speak into my heart, Lord. God will. He speaks to us in his word. He speaks to us through other people. And he speaks into our heart when we meditate and we pray. And God will put something on your heart. It's very important that when we pray, we just don't say, God, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Thanks. See ya. I mean, really, it's just not how it works. When we go to God and we pray, after, just be still. Just be still and just let the Lord talk to you. Let him talk into your heart. Maybe he has something to say to you for that day. And then after, you may run into someone and they say something. You're like, wow, I had to have come from God. I'm telling you, God's fingerprints are all over everything. But it's so important that when we pray, it's a dialogue. When you're talking to the Lord, talk to me, Lord. You know, we always ask God to lead the way. I pray every day for all of us. And I always ask the Lord to help me lead the congregation, Lord, in the best way I can. And let your Holy Spirit lead us, Lord. We need you. I can't do this. I can't do this all alone. I need you. And put it on my heart what to say, Lord, what to do. What do you want me to say Sunday? You know, and I sit and I wait. And it's important for you guys to do that, too. You probably do. But just keep that in mind. When you're praying, it's a dialogue. This ain't a monologue. Don't do all the talking, right? You ever been with someone and they just do all the talking? You're like, after an hour, you're just like, oh, man, it's killing me here, right? Talk the ears off a brass monkey, you know? So it's like God do some talking, too. All right. Then God spoke, verse 15, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark. You and your wife and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and the cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Right? That sounds familiar, right? That's exactly what we read back in chapter 1, right? It's the same thing God told Adam and Eve, right? Be fruitful and multiply. But unfortunately, they became disobedient. Verse 18. So Noah went out and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Let's stop there for a minute. You got to look at this right here. In verse 1 of this chapter, okay, it says, God remembered Noah. Okay, first thing, verse 1, first thing Noah does when he gets off the ark? It says, Noah remembers God. That's amazing to me. God remembered Noah, and Noah remembers God when he finally got off the ark. He builds an altar and does sacrifices to God. It's amazing. First thing he does, he builds an altar to the Lord to honor God. It's amazing. Verse 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. This is a reference. Remember I've said before in my sermons that we are born into sin, right? Natural born sinners. There's no way around it, okay? Because it came from Adam all the way through. That's a reference to that. But God has provided a Savior for us, which is very important to understand. God goes on and he says, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Last verse, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Amazing. And that ends chapter 6, 7, and 8. We're actually a little early tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for us being able to get together like this and read your word and learn more and more about you, Lord. And we just thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. And that completes the study for this week.